Hey guys, we are back. You know, we took a little break or whatever because life happens, but we have an explanation, and it's kind of what we're going to talk about today. So today's topic is going to be grief, ways to deal with it, different kinds of grief, et cetera, et cetera. You want to start?
You can start.
Okay, so obviously, maybe it's not that obvious, but my dad passed away. So I have been in Narnia. I don't know if that's good or bad, but just kind of try to figure out things to do to not be sad, super self-care, but also just kind of trying to learn how to navigate life with this new chapter that I'm in. So there are different kinds of grief, you know, but this one is a bit more fresh. So it's a little harder to deal with. So I guess I'll define, you know, the therapist standpoint, the different kind of griefs. So you have acute grief, which is something that's super recent. You're still sad about it. You're still depressed about it. You still have whatever feelings about it. But then you have integrated grief, which essentially means that you've learned how to integrate that grief into your life. So an integrated grief for me, an example would be my grandma. I still miss her. There are still things that happen that's like, oh, wow, I wish I could tell my grandma this. But I have learned how to navigate life without my first thought process being, let me call Claudia, versus acute grief, which would be my dad, that I haven't quite figured it out yet. So I still have like moments where I cry. I still have moments where maybe I forget that he died. Or like moments where it's like, dog, I wish I could do this, but I'm not able to deal with it yet without being overcome with emotion, which is normal and which is okay. But the point of, I guess, today's little chit chat is just to talk about ways to deal with it in a healthy way. 'Cause you know, some people grieve by doing very unhealthy things, and I'm trying to stay healthy. So yeah. I think that my self-care now is probably giving myself the time to just like reflect, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I disappear and my lovely friends, they don't say anything about it. More of like, I'm just trying to figure out a way to formulate whatever I got going on. In the past, like when my grandma died, I went on this like long trip of unhealthy stuff. And I pretty much drank myself into a place of being okay, which wasn't okay. And then I ended up like,
numbing the pain with the alcohol. Yeah.
For sure. Which is why, if you've noticed, I don't drink a lot right now, especially. I don't think it's a good idea. I said I might fall back into an old pattern that I didn't necessarily want to be in or agree with. But I was where I was, and I had to figure out how to deal with it in a healthy way. So drinking isn't really on my radar right now. I do other things. I like to, we have this little park by our house that has water. I like to go there and, you know, watch the river and stuff like that. But, you know, tomato, tomato. So.
Yeah, I always say the water is very therapeutic. Well, for me, because my mom used to always say, you know, you cast out your worries over the water, and you let the water carry them away.
Mm.
So,
That is, that's only interesting to me because I watched Over the Moon yesterday. It's a Netflix movie about grief. But anyway, when the mama died, they put this little flower in the water and it floated away. That makes so much sense to me now.
Yep.
So, as far as grief, what do you think like your best self-care technique is to deal with grief? You don't, I know you don't have anything like super recent, but really good on, although you've lost somebody that was clearly very important to you, you handled it well.
Yeah, the closest person would be my grandmother, Daisy.
Yeah.
That was back in 2017.
Which is not that long ago, by the way. Just feels like ages.
But it's all such a blur. It took years to, I won't say accept it because she was on up in age, but I would just have those moments where I could get in the car and just go drive to her house down in Wilcox County, and I could bet on her sitting outside on the porch and meeting me at the door, and we could go inside and sit at the kitchen table and just listen to her talk, not even so much as me talking. So that took a bit to get used to. I'm still dealing with it because I have not gone to her house since before 2017 when she got sick. I have not
there.
My uncle and my grandparents, they'll go back from time to time, just check on the house because they live like up the road, but I haven't. I can't.
Not even when you go to your grandparents' house, you don't even drive by it?
Nope.
That's interesting. That's kind of avoidance, but I haven't been to my grandma's house. Obviously, you know, we don't own it or anything anymore. But I haven't been there since we cleaned out the house. And I'm going to be real. I don't even go on the street. Carriage Brook in Montgomery, I don't even go on the street. If I need to go in Carriage Hills, I'm going to go around the world so that I don't have to go on Carriage Brook Road. So, I mean, but avoidance might be, it's not a healthy way of dealing with things, but it also helps you from being like, so. So avoiding, you know, may not be the best thing for us, but it could be helpful to us. You know, it's better than drinking yourself in a stupor. So do you think that you had any like unhealthy coping skills that you used?
I think avoidance was the biggest thing.
So was it avoidance or denial? Because denial is in the state of grief.
No, I acknowledge the fact that she was gone. Like I felt when it happened. I was at my mama's house and I just had this weird feeling, and it was just like
you.
She ain't here no more.
You.
And I got up to leave, actually. And my mama caught me in the driveway, and she was like, you know, come here. You know, just come sit down. We need to have a talk. And I was like, she's gone, isn't she? And my mama just kind of looked at me, and she was like, yeah. They just came and got her. And I was like, okay, you know, what's next? I went to work that next day. I mean, I bawled my eyes out at my desk in between taking calls, but they had to tell me to take off. I wasn't going to take off.
See, for me, with my grandma, so I found her. So I think I was kind of like numb because I was trying to be strong for everybody else because I talked to the, what they call it, the funeral home. I talked to the police. I talked to the ambulance, because in order to, so when you die in your home, the funeral home has to come get you. But before then, you know, the paramedics and people have to come to actually pronounce you dead. So we had to, I had to call all those people and then, you know, call them family members and stuff like that. So it was just like a swarm of people in the house. And I just felt like I had to be there, be together. So at the funeral home, you know, we were planning the funeral, you know, my mom was there, but I felt like I had to take over from her, because I had never seen my mama cry like that before. So I knew that she was pretending to be strong, which meant that I needed to pretend to be strong for her as well. And I think they had me on suicide watch as well. I jokingly say it, but also I just remember Angelo would not let me be alone for like a millisecond. And he would be like, I lived next door to my sister at the time, because we were lame and we got apartments in the same apartment complex in the same building. So he'd be like, okay, well, I'm finna go do this really quick. Let me walk you over to your sister's house. You just stay there until I get back. And he would come and get me and stuff like that. And I remember my sister's best friend took me to my house, and she was like, well, Angelo said he'll be there in a minute, so I'm just gonna leave you here. And I was like, that's fine. And I really don't remember much else. I just remember that when Angela walked in the house, I was in the shower and I was crying. Like, I was like sitting with the shower running, crying. Because I have this thing about not letting people see me not being strong. So in my mind, when you cry in the shower, I mean, are they tears or is it the water? Which is really dumb. And I've gotten a little bit better at that, but I still do it sometimes, I ain't gonna lie. I don't know. It took me a minute to break, though, but I think that it's important to acknowledge instead of not, because you have this like lag in emotions, because you're gonna break.
Oh yeah,
it's just a matter of when, to be
honest. That's the scary part, because you never know when it's gonna hit. So hats off to you, because I would have been a complete mess. That's probably why my memory is so choppy.
Why your what is choppy?
Memory surrounding her passing. It's like I remember bits and pieces of things, but I can't recount like detail for detail like I normally would. I can't. And I think that's a natural defense mechanism, like my subconscious way of protecting myself from that hurt.
Yeah. And you know, I have the worst memory in life, and I remember every single detail about that day. I remember down to like what I had on, what color lipstick I had on, because I would put on makeup to go to my grandma's house, because she got a kick out of me with lipstick on. Like, she would be like, oh, what color you gonna wear today? So I would like experiment with colors that I wouldn't normally wear, just because I knew she would like it. I had on red lipstick, I had straightened my hair, I had a side part this side. And I remember I was sitting in her house taking pictures, and I was like calling her cell phone, my mama's cell phone, because I was convinced that they were together. And they weren't. And then I had like this, if I wouldn't have been taking selfies, I could have saved her. But at the end of the day, she had been passed by the time
I was
in her house. So that was something that, because a lot of times with grief, you have guilt. And so for me, that was my way of blaming myself that I should have been there to help her. But, you know, everybody has a time. And I think that taught me how to deal with my dad's death, because one, I was by myself when I found out my dad died. And I was at the house by myself as well. So I woke up at about like 5:55 a.m. I could not go back to sleep. You know, I don't like getting up in the morning. So to me, I knew something was wrong because sleep. And then when my aunt called me at like 7 o'clock, I knew something was wrong. I was like, what's wrong? What is wrong? And she was like, I need you to pull over. And it's like this like deep pit that's like, okay, hit me with it. And when she told me, I think I broke like immediately, because, you know, I text my crew to tell them what happened, but then I disappeared. Because I was like, what the fuck? And I was trying to figure out how to be okay, especially for Nia, because she was feeding off of me. I had never seen her throw a fit to go to school, because I did still drop her off at school because I couldn't pack all my stuff up. Think about packing clothes for a funeral, because I knew I wasn't coming back till after the funeral. So I had like all this stuff I immediately had to do. And I couldn't do it with her clinging to me, because she can tell that I don't feel good. So I think it was good for me to disappear, because I was able to immediately get those emotions out. But I also kind of think it's starting a pattern, because I keep disappearing. Now, I don't know if that's good or not.
Well, I think it's healthy in a way. You're like a busy bee. That's what I like to call it. So you keep yourself so overwhelmed with everything that's going on with everybody around you, to where you don't have to deal with what Candace is going through. That keeps getting pushed, you know, to the background. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good thing that you disappear every so often, you know. Put emphasis on that.
Every other day.
Because I'm a loner like that, that's not a big deal for me. It's if you go like a week and a half and I don't hear anything, well then all my antennas are gonna flare up and I'm gonna send that wellness text, you know, are you okay?
Send my two bubble eyes that I love to send people.
Yeah. It's good. It's giving you a chance to process in a healthier way. It may not seem like it to you, but I think you need that me time right now. Me time, yeah. And that family time. You definitely need your partner.
Yeah. And I mean, he's done exceptionally well with my ever-changing moods, I shall say. They're not like angry moods. Like, I just get sad. And, you know, he'll talk me through it and then find a way to joke or find something to do to take my mind off of it. And then we're good. And I can appreciate him for that. I think just from experience, he probably knows that I don't really do well with grief, and I'm trying really hard to do well with it without, you know, breaking or making mistakes or anything like that. But I will say that I think Leah is like my blessing or like my, you know, motivating force, because she looks to me to say for everything, even though I'm obviously her favorite person. But
I'll let her Baba hear this.
Haters gonna hate. But anyway, she looks to me for, like, you know, comfort and support and stuff like that. So that's why I work so hard to make sure that I stay happy, because I know that she feeds off of me. And so I think that there's a healthy amount of every emotion. Nothing wrong with feeling a certain emotion, but, like, you don't want to be overly to anything, because overly happy people are also very annoying.
Yeah, and 9 times out of 10, those are the ones that's really depressed.
So, I mean, hello. So, I try to keep, you know, a healthy little, you know, basis. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, like, I don't get sad. Like, I was telling you earlier, like, Friday got sad over really some craziness, you know. But it is what it is. So I think I just be trying to, you know, do what I do. And my self-care is definitely binge watching TV shows right now, because it is a nice distraction. I'm still on Girlfriends, because I'm not really good at binge watching shows. I get tired of stuff. But I'm almost done, though. I'm almost done.
You know, I had to get my anime fix in for Halloween. So Blood of Zeus, it was good.
I heard it was good.
Oh, man.
Heard that I don't need to watch it with the child.
Mm-mm.
So that's going to be a take me at
kind of. Yeah, she doesn't need night terrors.
So yeah, I got Lovecraft on my watch list. Mm. I watched The Next Power, so that's on my watch list. I have Evil on Netflix. I watched a little bit of it with my aunt when I was in Memphis, and I was enthralled, okay?
Oh, really?
Yes. But it's on my watch list, though, because I ain't started it yet. Because when I started, I'm going to want to sit through and finish it, because it was good. Like, I asked so many questions to my aunt, was like, I'm just going to turn it off. Something else to do. Do you leave? But it was literally, that's it. So if you have any binge watch suggestions. Because that's what I do now. Binge watch shows. And then I watch things that I knew made me happy, so they make me happy again. We often watch Princess and the Frog. We rewatched Hamilton with the captions so that we could better understand. I watch a lot of TV these days. Excited about it. I haven't watched a lot of TV before.
Me either. Outside of my anime and my weird fixes, but
Speaking of anime, do you watch My Hero Academia?
Have you watched it? I used to. I get caught up. One of the
movies is on Stars.
Is it now?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Wanna know why I know? Because I watched it. I'm weak.
The last really good anime movie I watched was like Full Metal Alchemist: The Brotherhood. Like, that's my stuff.
You know what you need to watch? Dr. Stone. Mm-hmm. I want to say there's only one season out, but they're coming out with another season. But Dr. Stone was so good that we watched it in like 2 days.
Oh, wow. Let me add that to the list. Looking
for an oldie but a goodie, Samurai Champloo is on Hulu.
I can dig that. I always, I think it's Crunchyroll. I'm for real. That I gotta go back and download again. They used to have some good stuff. Cause my one all time favorite go to is Michiko Tehachin, but the only place I can find it is YouTube right now. So I'm gonna have
to you got Funimation?
Of course not.
That they got a whole lot of them. Did you say it?
Rubs hands like Birdman. Cause they probably have Psycho Pass too.
They got everything.
Yeah.
Girl, we got the app on the Roku, child.
I need to get on my game.
So yeah, I feel super judged right now by you, but also by the world pretty soon.
Why are you, whoa, judged? I'm thankful because I finally get a break from studying. So yeah. I have time now.
I'm just saying, I feel like I just let out my super nerd, like.
Nah, your super nerd would have been you announcing your enthusiasm for the Harry Potter theme park thing.
Girl, I cannot wait to go to Harry Potter Land. You just wait till Tania is old enough to walk around Harry Potter Land by herself without me having to take a stroller. But I'm going to put a leash on her, though.
You know, it wouldn't be such a bad idea.
You say, come on, baby, put your backpack on. Yeah.
Why people be so against those?
You know, I feel like I'm like the think of everything that could go wrong parent. So in my mind, or what we would call it, catastrophic thinking here. In my mind, if we go to like a big amusement park or something and I don't have Nia on a leash, she's going to be playing, run away from me jokingly, and then she's never going to find me again. I'm going to call campus security like, oh my God, I lost my child. And they're going to be like, oh, well, I don't know. And then someone's going to snatch her up because, of course, she's cute AF. So they're going to snatch her up because look at this cute ass kid. And then the next thing I know, I'm going to see her like, it's a small world after all.
Oh, my gosh.
Or something that works at Disney.
I think that they are so against leashes and things like that to keep the child within a certain restraint. Either they had kids like millions of years ago or they don't have any at all and they're just going off of what it looks like. Because I can tell you for a fact, trying to run after a toddler
is hard.
An intelligent toddler at that. And mischievous.
A mischievous toddler.
Yeah, that ain't no walk in the park. Oh my
Lord. I just think that like hide and seek would go wrong. And yep. Good conscience.
That would be like the perfect time for them to conjure up, let's prank mama. Yeah, and it goes.
And she's totally gonna prank herself into Walt Disney slavery.
I would hope not.
So, you know, I'm just saying, pro, put your kid on a leash. I do understand that children are not dogs, but, you know, I leash with love. You know what I mean?
Do whatever is comfortable for your parenting style, but know your kids because they're not always going to be attentive. That's what makes me so mad. You know, sometimes you see with these little babies, they get snatched up and they're like 3, 4, 5 years old. And the parents be like, well, I left them alone in the yard to play by themselves. Like, they know better not to talk to strangers. Like, they're children. They're kids.
Well,
they barely have full self-awareness.
I ain't leaving my kid alone in the yard to play by herself, even if it's in our own yard, because jeepers creepers and people drive through neighborhoods,
right?
I mean, let's just say Creepmaster 101 has decided that they're going to take a stroll through your neighborhood today, because that's just the random neighborhood of the week, and you let your child play outside, and the next thing you know, oh, I have a child to snatch. No. Mm-mm. No, it's some creepy people in this world. And, you know, I have a healthy amount of conspiracy theorists in me and worst case scenario in me that I just, you know, me myself personally, I'm going to be a little more cautious, you know. The only yard my child will play in could be a backyard. And I say that with like this much confidence in myself that I would not watch her.
Oh yeah, no, I don't. And you know, mine's
backyard got gates.
Yeah, mine's fenced in, and I still sit out back and like, nope. Sorry, because I don't know, somebody may get bold enough to hop the fence. So anything can happen, but
girl, so you know. And then I'm going to be grieving my child. See? No.
No, 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 no. We're not going to be grieving the babies. Now, you might be locked up behind bars for going, you know, a little crazy. But
girl, no. I'm going to go peanut butter jelly sandwich on them people. Not ham, because I'm going to go worse. Vegan style. A girl. But you know what? I have enough confidence to know that by the time she get done talking to her or some stranger, they're gonna be like, no, I'm gonna leave this child where they at, because feel like her mom's crazy. Be like, ha, yep. So there we have it.
How do we get off topic?
I know we always get off topic, but it is what it is, you know. At least we don't get off topic talking about crazy stuff. We have a healthy amount of education and fun. I was going to say funication, but that sounds too close to fornication.
It does.
We don't want to do that. Oh, goodness. So it's a porn site. Okay. I think it might be time to go.
Yeah.
This was fun. We do plan on making this more regular. I think I'm back from Narnia now. So that's good.
Well, welcome back.
So, yeah. It's great. Same time next week. All right, well. Oh, yeah. Okay, so we haven't quite mastered, like, ordering and stuff like that yet. But once we get all of our paperwork and stuff together, then we will be letting y'all know how to order the shirts, when to order the shirts. Etc. Etc. And we're gonna make it do what it do.
Yeah, I'm gonna raffle off. What was it? The large.
You wanna do a raffle?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like playing Hunger Games.
That may the odds be ever. That means that you can be looking forward to a video on how to enter the raffle. All right. So, I got way too excited about that. We're going to go now. Got anything else to say?
No, my dear.
All right, well, love, we are the soul sister.